Hey crew, my name's Josh. I lead the Year 10 boys. Damn. I'm so stoked to be able to be bringing us the word tonight. But I thought I'd just start in prayer, so please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you so much that you speak to us through your word. I ask that you speak through me tonight. Help us to understand you and know you and love you better. Amen. Cool. Okay, so I thought I'd start this talk by doing something a little bit different. It might seem a bit random, but I'm going to ask you guys to all close your eyes. So everybody close your eyes for a few moments. So I wanted to start by asking you guys just one question. It might seem a little intense, but we keep it real at Senior High. So the question for today is, are you okay? Are you okay, really? You guys can open your eyes. Maybe your answer is no. Maybe your answer is no right now. I'm actually not okay. Maybe you've got some stuff going on in your life, at school, in a relationship, with your family. Maybe it's inside your own mind. Maybe even being here at youth is kind of difficult. Maybe you're feeling overly stressed, overwhelmed, anxious. Maybe right now you're not okay. Or maybe you are okay. Maybe right now you're actually doing okay. Praise God. Praise God if this is you. I hope it is, but chances are there have been times in your life where you haven't been so okay, where maybe you've battled against your mind, or stress and anxiety, or some kind of suffering has gotten a hold of you, and in that moment you took a step back and you thought, right now I'm not okay. Or maybe you've been doing great your whole life, and even right now you're like, nah, I'm still feeling pretty okay, things are good, my life is pretty sick. Praise God for his goodness in your life, and I pray that this continues, but chances are, you'll reach a point one day where you won't be okay, where a trial will come, where suffering will come, and you'll take a step back and realize, right now, I'm actually not okay. In my preparation for this talk, I did some digging and some research, and what I found was this study by the American Psychology Association about stress and anxiety. And congratulations, guys. Gen Z, so anyone born between 1997 and 2012, which I think is all of us. Is anyone not in that? I don't know. So Gen Z is officially the most stressed and anxious generation out of all of them.
I love you guys.
That's something we should be clapping about.
Yeah, exactly. The funny thing is, well, it's not really that funny. It's not really close at all in any category. Pretty much, it's a landslide win for Gen Zers in every category of stress or anxiety. Like, is anxiety causing you to sleep badly? Yes, more than any other generation. How stressed and anxious do you feel on a scale of 1 to 10? More stressed than anyone else. Does anxiety negatively affect your relationships? Yes, more than any other generation. Like higher suicide rates, more mental illness diagnosis, more stress about money, more stress about social media. The list kind of goes on and on. And the point being, this not being okay stuff, statistically, you guys are the generation that is the least okay. So this topic is not a topic that is far off for us or a topic that isn't relatable, but this topic is something that we as young people will be forced to think about at some point. The thing is, what Paul is saying here, what he's saying in Philippians 4, he says in verse 12, he says, I have learnt the secret. I have learnt the secret. The secret to what? The secret of being content in any and every situation. Verse 11 says, to be content whatever the circumstances. What Paul is saying is that he has learnt the secret to how to be okay when not everything's okay. He has learnt the secret. When he is in need, when he has plenty, when things are good, bad, terrible, when he's happy, when he's stressed, when he's hungry, when he's well-fed, when he's high, low, everything in between, he knows the secret to how to be content. and he has learnt the secret, is what he says. Which means that it is something that is learnable, and it means that you guys can learn it too. So, senior high, I invite you to learn the secret with me today, and we can learn the secret together. Cool, so it's a really simple talk today, just 2 points. Point one, it's not about you. It's not about you. Okay, so a few things to talk about first, which I think it's important. I think it's important to understand the setup of the book of Philippians as a whole, and that it's pretty much like a big thank you letter. So Paul, he's been to Philippi, he's done ministry work there, and he's then gone on to leave and go to other places and share the gospel. And the Philippians have been kind of like sending him money on his journeys. So verse 15 said, "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need." So they've been sending Paul money, and this is kind of Paul's way of saying thank you. But then Paul says, he says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." He says, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learnt to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." What Paul is saying is, like, it's sick you've been sending me money. Thank you so much. I'm super grateful. Like, it says, like, I rejoice greatly, right? But my contentment, my joy, doesn't rise and fall with my bank account. He says, I don't need your money to be content. And even though I'm super grateful, my contentment relies on something else. When I was 18, I went on a trip up the East Coast with my friends, Jono and Ethan, in Ethan's Corolla. And we went surfing a lot, like 3 times a day, most days type of thing. And I remember that our happiness, our individual happiness, our physical health, mental health, group chemistry, emotional well-being, spiritual health, even to some degree, our financial situation, pretty much depended on whether the surf was good or not. Let me just justify that statement. So for example, at a spot like Crescent Head, which is this really, really nice right-hand point break about 5 hours north, we scored it, right? Super sunny, really good weather, really good waves that went for like a minute or two, like such good waves. We were surfing for like 5 or 6 hours every day. We were stoked. Our happiness, our joy, our contentment was through the roof. We were getting along with each other great, having great chats, enjoying life. And we were in the water so much that we didn't even have time to worry about spending money on dumb things out of the water. So we had the facade of thinking that we were doing good financially. Everything was great when the surf was great. Then compare that to places like Port Macquarie or Byron. Both these places, shout out Jesse Baker. Both these places had way worse surf when we were there. The weather was gray, rainy, cold, grim. The waves were messy and terrible. They looked something a bit like that. The water was brown and sharky. Everything just sucked. And what was funny was that with the waves being bad, our mental, emotional well-being plummeted. We started fighting with each other, getting sick of each other, making dumb decisions, because our contentment was linked, tied purely to how good the surf was. And that's all well and good when the surf's pumping, but how futile is it when the waves are bad? You see, Paul said that money or not, hungry or fed, whatever the situation, he is content. So that's point one. The secret to contentment is that it's not about you, not about what's going on with you, what's going on around you, not about the events, relationships, your bank account, your mental health, or even the waves. The secret to contentment, the secret to being okay when not everything is okay, is based off something else entirely. It's not about you. You can be not okay. You can be struggling with insecurity. You can be battling depression. You can be sick, tired, stressed, anxious, yet still have this contentment because it's not based on you. And how do we know this? Because Paul isn't just saying this, right? He actually backs it up by being in jail when he writes this letter. Paul is in a prison cell, a Roman prison cell, something like this. Yeah, it's gross, disgusting, dark, cold, wet, moldy. The stench would have been unbearable, right? He is imprisoned, he is chained, physically chained. Yet what has been the overall theme of our whole term? Joy. Joy, right? Paul knows the secret to contentment. And the first part is that it's not about us. Cool, point two. It's all about God. All right, so now we get to one of the most quoted verses of the whole Bible. Paul goes, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether living in plenty or in want. And then he says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You might have seen this verse before. In ESV, it says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Like, you might have seen this tattooed on your favorite sports person's bicep or in some Instagram influencer's bio, or maybe you've seen it on this person's shoes. Does anyone know who that is? Hand up. Zillin?
LeBron James.
No, it's not LeBron James. Does anyone know who this is? Yell it out. Steph Curry, cool. So maybe you've seen it on Steph Curry's shoes and you're like, oh, he can shoot more threes than anyone in NBA history through him who gives him strength. And you're like, okay, this verse is a G up to go out there and do great things and be successful and be the best athlete and be a legend in the name of God. And then you read the context of the passage and you're like, oh, it's not about sport. It's not about success. It's not even about putting it in your Instagram bio. It's about contentment. The Greek word Paul uses for contentment is literally a combination of self and sufficient. And you might think that's funny, given that my whole first point was that it's not about you, and was that contentment does not and cannot rely on you. And Paul says, I have the secret to this self-sufficiency, this contentment. What's the secret? I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Through him. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The secret is him. For a Christian, our sufficiency is not self-sufficiency. It's a radical dependency. In other words, the secret to contentment for a Christian is not ourselves. It's depending on God. That is why Paul can be on a death sentence in a Roman prison and be so full of joy. His contentment doesn't come from his circumstances, which change, but it comes from something that never changes. Friends, the joy of knowing Jesus and what he has done for you on the cross is a joy that is beyond anything in this world. Humans have tried to find the true way to contentment for thousands of years. Yet no one knows the answer. Scientists, philosophers, all kinds of smart people have tried to answer this question, but no one ever has. And our generation is less okay than ever before. Humanity is struggling. We need an answer. And here Paul says, I have the secret. I know how to be content. I know how to have joy in everything, no matter the situation. And the answer is, it's not about you. It's all about God. Even in your struggles, and believe me, I've had struggles, even in your suffering, your trial, your guilt, your shame, your health, your sin, you can be content. You can have a deep-rooted joy and inner peace. If you can do all things through him, through God, who gives you strength. Before I finish, I think it's important to acknowledge that there's actually a difference between this joy, this deep inner contentment that I'm talking about, and happiness. Often our happiness can actually be determined by our circumstances, by things going on in our lives, by emotions, by how we're feeling. For example, I think it's kind of funny that my sermon was this week because I've actually had a kind of hectic week. A few days ago, my grandpa had a really bad accident and I've been visiting him in the hospital. He broke six of his ribs and he punctured his lung. He's going to be okay, but it was looking quite touch and go for a little bit, especially at the start. So it's been a gnarly week for my family. And on top of like uni assessments and writing this talk and work and leading youth and Christian surfers and doing some one body things and running music here and trying to maintain a long distance relationship and keep up my relationship with God. And I'd say I'm usually quite a chill person, but honestly this week, like I felt overwhelmed and stressed and anxious about my grandpa and worried for my family. And my happiness hasn't been at the highest level. Yeah, maybe when I asked you if you were okay at the start of this talk, your answer was no. Yeah, can I encourage you to tell someone about how you're feeling? Tell a friend, tell a leader. If you want, I'll be around after youth. I'd love to chat, I'd love to pray for you. The message from this talk is definitely not that if you have God, you will be happy and you'll always be happy, no matter what, because like that's not true. Even Jesus wept, you know. But yeah, the difference between happiness and joy is that whilst happiness might rest on what's going on in your life, joy rests on what's outside your life. Joy rests on God and what he has done for you. And that is why Paul can have joy in a prison cell. And that is why I can have joy even though I'm sad about my grandpa. And that is why you can have joy in your good times and in your bad times. In your happiness and in your suffering. For you can do all things through him who gives you strength. I'm going to pray to wrap us up, so please pray with me. Yeah, Father, thank you that knowing you is the greatest joy that we could ever have. Thank you that anything on this earth pales in comparison to knowing you. I pray for anyone in this room who's maybe not okay right now, and I ask that, you can meet them where they're at and give them that deep joy, that deep contentment that Paul's talking about. Yeah, and I pray that Senior High can be a congregation where, even in our suffering, where we can suffer together, and also where we can have that joy, and where our joy won't be determined by things in our lives or our circumstances or events in our lives, but our joy will be determined by you and what you did on the cross for us. Amen.